We welcome each one of you tonight to our Christmas concert that we do every year, and some of you have been here numerous times in the past. We welcome you again. If you're a first-time guest this evening for this musical event, we welcome you as well, and we'll say a little bit more about that later. All of these are musicians of Bible Baptist Church, and they're all volunteers. They do this for the glory of the Lord, and they're here to serve, and that's what we do at Bible Baptist Church. We're just so glad you can join us for this time, and we trust that it will be a help and a blessing to you this evening. Let's pray as we begin. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would bless this time, and may Jesus Christ be glorified through the music and through the message that's delivered. Father, I pray that you would accomplish your purpose in hearts and lives through this time. Thank you that we can share this time together. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Again, welcome. We're glad you're here. Thank you.
Thank you. Silent night, bathe in golden candlelight. We recall his wondrous life, and we remember.
And as music fills the skies with angel choirs and infant cries, we sing our ancient lullabies, and we remember, we remember.
Just beyond the silver stars, the shadow of a tree.
Just beyond the angel songs, the cries of Calvary.
Just beyond that little town, a borrowed tomb, a linen shroud. Just beyond the midnight clear, a broken heart,
a falling tear, a broken our songs of praise. We think upon the price of grace, saving grace.
And we remember,
and sing, prepare to meet your newborn King. The waiting is over, Messiah has come. Open your hearts and receive God's Son. Welcome the child of light, the bright morning star that illumines the night, the hope of the ages, the Savior of all. Welcome the child of light, welcome the child of light. This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring him on the babe, the Son of Mary.
Shepherds were watching their flock by night, when lo, there appeared a wondrous sight.
Angels at once the glorious birth,
goodwill to all and peace on earth.
Gloria in excelsis.
We're so glad you're here this evening. We have a few less this year than we have other years. I think that probably is owing to the weather. And it's nippy. All of a sudden it's winter outside, isn't it? I was hearing some music on the way to the church this evening. I'm dreaming of a white Christmas. And don't be dreaming of a white Christmas on your way home tonight. You need to pay attention to the icy roads and be very cautious. And before I forget, please, everyone, stay for a Christmas cookie and treat fellowship out here in the Welcome Center as you leave tonight. We'd sure like to have you stay and enjoy a few treats with us before you leave this evening. I'd like to share a few thoughts with you from the Scriptures, and I'm going to be reading a few verses from Luke chapter 2 and some other verses of Scripture in the Word of God. You know, the angelic announcement, most people are familiar with. It was a marvelous, it was a unique, it was a memorable time, and all heaven took notice when God sent His Son, when God the Son became flesh. I've told our folks this, and I think it's true that the time we choose to celebrate the coming of the Lord, the coming of Christ, the incarnation as it's called, when God the Son became flesh, is probably the second greatest event in human history. The greatest event was when He went to Calvary, when He went to the cross, and that was why He came, of course, was to die. Jesus Christ, the babe, came to die. But it should be noted that the life of Christ received more angelic involvement than any other biblical event. But sometimes we overlook the first few words of that angelic proclamation. Let me read to you from Luke chapter 2, verse 8 and following. The Bible says, "There were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger." And the words of this angelic proclamation and this heavenly host saying, Glory to God in the highest, on earth peace, goodwill toward men, have been repeated over and over again. But I'd like to call your attention to the first few words of that declaration. Glory to God in the highest. We sometimes overlook those words. We focus on the peace on earth, goodwill toward men, and a lot of people have questions about that. I think they're answered biblically. But it seems to be true in the Scriptures that one of God's most compelling purposes in all that He does is to receive glory. And I was reading in my personal devotions, Bible reading just this morning in Psalm 29, verses 1 and 2, where the Bible says something very close to this. Psalm 29, verse 1 and 2 says, Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength, give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. And 1 Chronicles 16:29 says something very similar to that. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Bring an offering and come before Him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. The fact is that God is due glory. In other words, He deserves it. And there is much in the Scriptures about this. I've got a whole lot of Scripture I could share with you this evening. God is very intent on being glorified. And why is that? It's not because He's being egotistical, but the contrast to that is that we are inclined to glorify ourselves and to think too highly of me. And you know, our ego can be our very worst enemy. Our ego, we all have it. We all have pride. The Bible says in Proverbs 16:18, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. And this extrapolates itself and makes itself known in so many different applications. God speaks many times about human pride, and how does he respond to the notion that I'm just fine, I'm good enough as I am? How does God respond to that notion? Well, the Bible says that God is a God who ought to be glorified because of what he has done, and what have we done? Well, the Bible says all good things come from God. James 1:17 says every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights. Everything good that we have is from God, and we just take so many things for granted. You know, we go to sleep at night, we breathe earth air, and our heart just keeps on beating, and every beat of your heart, every breath that you breathe is a gift from God. And what did I do today to keep my heart beating? I didn't do anything. I didn't have to do anything. That was a gift from God. What did I do today to deserve the air that I was breathing? These are gifts from our great God. All good things come from God. And 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 speaks to this subject as well when it says, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Another principle is we don't deserve anything good from God. And there are a lot of folks who consider themselves to be good people. Why do you think you're going to heaven? Because I'm a good person. And Jesus Christ clearly said there aren't any good people. There aren't any good people. We're all sinners. There's none good but one, that is God. And the fact is we're all sinners, and we all sin by nature. We sin by choice. We disobey God. What is sin? It's a subject that's not very much mentioned in public life these days. Even in religious life, it's not very much mentioned because people don't like to hear about it. But the Bible says sin is the transgression of God's law. Anytime God's laws are broken on any level, that's sin. And that's sin that God is bound to judge. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 2 says, every transgression and disobedience receives a just recompense of reward. And so God is a God who judges sin, but he doesn't want to have to judge people. And so he sent his son to die on Calvary's cross in our place. And that's basically the gospel message, that Jesus Christ came to this earth to die for sinners. And it's true. It's true. The shadow of the cross loomed over that manger scene, that baby. Some people like to think of Jesus as only as a baby. He grew up to be a man who went to the cross to pay the price for our sins so that we could have life. If we would receive him, if we would repent, if we would turn our life over to him and be willing to confess and acknowledge and admit what we are. The Bible says in Micah chapter 7, verse 18, who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by transgression? He retaineth not his anger forever because he delighteth in mercy. The fact is we don't deserve forgiveness or mercy, but God delights to give forgiveness and mercy. And God is the holy God, and we are the sinners. Praise the Lord that he is rich in mercy. And this is why he sent his son, is to go to Calvary's cross to pay the sin debt that we have ourselves. The I'm a good person defense is vain and worthless. We need God's mercies. And as soon as we acknowledge and realize, no, I'm not a good person, I'm a rebel, I am malicious, I am proud, I am haughty, I am violent, I'm all these wicked things the Bible says I am. And it's true that not very, very few people are as bad as they could be. But the fact is we have all violated God's commands and we are all sinners. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Many of you would remember a daredevil named Evel Knievel. And I was just a child when he was jumping his motorcycle over buses at some of the casinos in Las Vegas. I grew up there as a child and remember quite intimately him doing some of those crazy stunts. And I remember years later, he said he got a rocket-powered motorcycle. He was going to launch himself over the Grand Canyon. But he strapped on a parachute as well, because he wasn't so sure of himself. He'd broken a lot of bones because of his acrobatic feats in the past. But he failed and he had to use his parachute. The Grand Canyon is 5 miles across at its narrowest point. And some of you have been there and you've seen what an awesome display it is. But the fact of the matter is, it's just as crazy for me to put on my tennis shoes, my running shoes, and back up a couple hundred yards and decide I'm going to run and take a leap and jump across the Grand Canyon, as it is to imagine I could measure up to God's holy standard. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're going to come short every time. We're going to fail to measure up to God's holy standard. What kind of people get to heaven? What kind of people actually end up going to heaven? They're people who have the righteousness that God will accept. That's his own righteousness. They are clothed in the righteousness of Christ, and that is a gift to those who will acknowledge and repent, who will acknowledge their sin and confess their sin before God and reach out to the Lord by faith. It's nothing that we can earn ourselves. Salvation, we cannot achieve ourselves. Salvation is a gift of God. It's not of works, lest any man should boast, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 says. We're all inclined to glorify ourselves, and God is glorified in the highest. Isn't it a shame that it takes heaven to glorify the Lord as the Son of God? Glory to God in the highest. It was the angels who acknowledged, who recognized him, and some people did as well, but many people did not. The Bible says in the first chapter of the Gospel of John, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. The Jews generally rejected Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah. But he came to them first, and he is glorified in the highest. It requires faith. It takes faith for us to glorify the Lord. The Bible says in Job 38 that the sons of God, the angels, were there to watch while he created the heavens, while he spangled the heavens with stars and so on. They saw it themselves, and we must respond to him by faith. We haven't seen him. We haven't seen him before. We've never seen him do those mighty works. But we believe that he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. The Word of God teaches us this. And the peace of God is available to those who believe. The rest of that section, the proclamation of the angels, glory to God in the highest, on earth peace, goodwill toward men. To those who see themselves as they are, and receive Christ for who he is, to see ourselves as we are, and to receive Christ for who he is, there is peace. There is salvation. He is the God of peace, and that's mentioned many times in the Bible. If we had the time, we'd look at a lot of different verses that talk about the God of peace. And the peace of God that passes all understanding. Let me challenge you this evening. When you pillow your head at night and think about eternity, and think about the fact that you're going to die one day, do you have peace in your heart that everything's all right between you and God? What a great thought that is. What a great challenge. And I would challenge you, if the answer is no, I don't have peace about it. When was the last time somebody got home from work and said to their spouse, "Don't bother me for 30 minutes. I want to go sit on the bed in the dark and think about death"? When was the last time that ever happened? Nobody wants to do that. You know, we spend our lifetime preparing for life and very little time preparing for eternity. And where will you spend eternity, friend? And we'd love to point you to the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, at this time of the year. The Bible says he is worthy of glory. And he gives peace in spite of troubles and problems. And the world is full of them. This is a troubled world we live in, isn't it? There are lots of problems in our world, in our culture. But in spite of all that, God is the God of peace. And he offers peace and he offers calmness to the child of God, the one who's trusting him. It's possible to just let go of these things and enjoy God's peace, knowing he will steer us through the issues of life. And it's not up to you and me. Turn to Christ and honor and glorify him, and he'll give you his peace. Glory to God in the highest. He ought to be glorified in our lives. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gospel message. We thank you for salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray that you would speak to hearts today. And Father, those who are not prepared to meet you, may they realize this and may they apply their heart to understanding and to wisdom. Thank you for the good music we've heard this evening. And Father, I pray that you'd bless our fellowship that follows. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you. And please stay for the reception that will follow this last piece.
Thank you.
And we are so glad to have you here. Stay for cookies, please. Thank you. You're dismissed.